TED Audio Collective.
You're listening to TED Talks Daily, where we bring you new ideas to spark your curiosity every day. I'm your host, Elise Hugh. Today's speaker says we can sharply accelerate global development without spending more money. In his talk from 2024, economist Karthik Muralidharan shares a way to get education and innovation to low-income populations at scale simply by spending smarter. That's coming up after the break.
Apple Card is the perfect card for your holiday shopping. When you use Apple Card on your iPhone, you'll earn up to 3% daily cash back on every purchase, including products at Apple like a new iPhone 16 or Apple Watch Ultra. Apply now in the Wallet app on your iPhone. Subject to credit approval, Apple Card issued by Goldman Sachs Bank USA, Salt Lake City branch. Terms and more at applecard.com.
TED Talks Daily is brought to you by Northwestern Mutual. Like our listeners, Northwestern Mutual financial advisors believe in the power of a good talk. They're known for having better conversations that get to the heart of your unique goals. They have access to Northwestern Mutual's exclusive portfolio of financial solutions designed to better meet you where you are. And independent research shows their comprehensive planning approach can lead to better outcomes for you and your family. It's a better way to money. See why at northwesternmutual.com/TED. The Northwestern Mutual Life Insurance Company, headquartered in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Shop Dell Technologies' Black Friday event for their lowest prices of the year. The future is on sale today with limited time deals on select PCs like the XPS 16 that accelerate AI with Intel Core Ultra processors. Black Friday is their biggest sale of the year and the best time to upgrade, but it's only here for a limited time. Shop now at Dell.com/deals. That's Dell.com/deals.
Like TED Talks? You should check out the TED Radio Hour with NPR. Stay tuned after this talk to hear a sneak peek of this week's episode.
And now, our TED Talk of the day.
So the good news on global development is that key indicators like child mortality and school enrollment are better today than at any point in human history. However, the bad news is that though many more children are surviving, large numbers are not thriving. As of 2022, we had nearly 150 million stunted children, or around 22% of the world's children. Similarly, 70% of children aged 10 in low and middle income countries could not read a simple passage. Put together, the world is behind schedule on over 85% of the United Nations Sustainable Development Goals. Now, at one level, this might seem very bleak, but I'm here today to tell you that I'm optimistic that we can accelerate global development because there is a free lunch, okay? Now, you may be thinking, is this guy really an economist? We're taught that the first basic lesson of economics is that there's no such thing as a free lunch, okay? But I am a professor of economics, and I am going to show you a free lunch today. And the source of this free lunch comes from the fact that over the past two decades, the explosion in the availability of data, computing power, and better research methods, including the growing use of randomized controlled trials in social policy, has helped us identify large sets of interventions that have a 10x return on investment that we're not acting on. At the same time, the research has also identified that governments around the world spend billions of dollars on interventions that are pretty ineffective. And so the free lunch is pretty simple, that we can deliver a lot more for global development, not necessarily by spending more, but by spending smarter, which basically means spending less on things that are less effective and more on underfunded ideas that could be transformative. So let's explore this with a deep dive into global education. As with all other areas, the good news is that school enrollment is higher today than ever been before. The bad news is that this increase in enrollment has not translated into learning outcomes. So with 70% of 10-year-olds in low and middle-income countries not able to read a simple passage, we have a global learning crisis. This is both a moral tragedy for the individual children whose lifelong capabilities and opportunities are constrained by weak education. But it's also a tragedy for their countries because it limits long-term productivity and economic growth. Now, the normal approach to dealing with this problem is to say we need to spend more, either through more foreign aid or through higher government budgets. But what the research also shows is that most of the business-as-usual spending that we do is not very effective. In particular, we have studies showing that upgrading school infrastructure, hiring more credentialed teachers, increasing teacher pay, or even giving students free textbooks and laptops don't seem to be having much of an impact. So the question is, what is going on? How do you make sense of this? Now, one problem is a problem of governance and accountability, which limits the translation of public expenditure into outcomes. But a bigger problem may be weaknesses in pedagogy and teaching within the classroom. Now, this figure comes from one of my studies in India with a sample of over 6,000 kids, and I consider it to be perhaps the most important figure for understanding education in low and middle income countries. In practice, kids fall behind quickly for a variety of reasons and stay behind. And the true rate of progress is around half of what is in the curriculum. And so what that means is your average eighth grade kid in public school in India has about a fourth grade level of understanding of mathematics. Now, further, with dynamic computer adaptive testing, we can pinpoint the exact learning level of every student in the sample. If you focus on the eighth grade part of that picture, is that in one eighth grade classroom, you have students at a second grade level, at a third, at a fourth, at a fifth, all the way up to eighth grade level of understanding. And so what that means is that this teacher has a nearly humanly impossible task of catering to that kind of variation in the classroom. And so what does a teacher do? Even a sincere, motivated teacher will focus on completing the curriculum and the textbook. But the problem is that does not translate into much learning because it is so far ahead of the level of where the kids are. Abhi, इस व्याख्यान के बीच में अगर मैं एक दूसरी भाषा में बात करने लगा तो मैं जितना भी क्वालिफाइड हूँ, जितना भी मोटिवेटेड हूँ, जितना भी सिंसियर हूँ, आपको कुछ समझ में नहीं आएगा। अभी मैं दूसरी भाषा में क्यों बोल रहा हूँ? ताकि आप सब कुछ लम्हों के लिए महसूस कर सके कि दुनिया के लाखों पाठशालाओं में हर दिन हर बच्चे को क्या महसूस होता होगा। अभी अगर आपको समझ में आ रहा है तो प्लीज हाथ उठाइए। Now, what have I just done to you? I have given you 25 seconds in the shoes of a typical kid in a typical classroom in millions of schools around the world. And so what that helps you understand is I could be highly motivated, highly qualified, highly sincere, but that instruction is not going to result in learning because it's way above your level of understanding, and it'll only reach a small fraction of the kids in the class. And now that also helps make sense of why default things like upgrading school infrastructure, increasing teacher pay, giving free textbooks, or even free laptops often don't seem to have much of an impact. And that's because they're not addressing the binding constraint to learning, which is the mismatch between instruction and comprehension. Now, while free tablets or laptops don't seem to have much impact by themselves, we found large positive effects of customized learning software called MindSpark in India that was able to tailor instruction to every kid in the class. And so now, in that same eighth grade class, you've got kids at completely different levels, but who are being taught at a level that's right for them, and the results were stunning. We saw among the largest gains in any education study done in developing countries. And in 4 months of the program, they gained about a full year of learning. Okay, so that's the case to be optimistic.
And now back to the episode.
But this is TED. And so before we think that technology will replace the teacher, here's another tale of caution. During COVID, we ran another randomized control trial that gave a large number of kids free tablets with MindSpark that we know works, and we gave it to them to use at home when schools were shut down. And unfortunately, the impact was exactly zero, okay? And we know why, because you can track the usage, and you see that without the adult supporting the child, there is no engagement and no learning. Okay, so put together, what this tells us is that technology has the potential to be transformative, but it's not a silver bullet by itself. But if you use the data and the evidence to iterate the solution, you can use technology to transform education at scale. In other cases, interventions, completely low-tech interventions, can be highly effective, such as remedial after-school tutoring programs, often run by high school graduates with no formal teacher training. In another recent study, we studied the impact of one of the world's largest COVID remediation education programs run by the Indian state of Tamil Nadu. So in this program, the government hired about 200,000 young women with a high school degree to provide 60 to 90 minutes of remedial instruction after school. And it reached over 3 million students. And the program was highly effective, improved equity, and was about 10 times more cost effective than business as usual education spending. But that program would have been discontinued if we didn't present that study to the government leadership, because they would have thought, it's 1 year after COVID, we don't need this. Now, this pattern of 10x ROI investments is not restricted to education. In sector after sector, ranging from education, early childhood development, welfare programs, and even justice, the research over the past decade has identified a series of 10x ROI opportunities. Now, if you're a private sector investor and I'm offering you a 10x ROI, you'd be clamoring to put as much money to work as possible in that opportunity. But governments often don't act on these ideas due to a combination of inertia, risk aversion, and lack of political and bureaucratic incentives to act. As an economist, I don't worry about how Toyota produces its cars, because you face market prices for inputs and market prices for outputs. And if you're not efficient, there's competitive pressure to get you there. In contrast, governments can spend taxpayer money badly and leave $100 bills lying on the sidewalk for a really long time because they don't face a market test for their actions and don't get the feedback on the effectiveness or lack thereof of their spending. And that's why research and evidence is especially important for guiding effective public spending, way more so than in the private sector where you have the incentives that push you there. Now, it's going to be easy to think that governments are these big lumbering beasts, which they are, but there is absolutely no getting away from the centrality of improving government effectiveness for global development. And that's because the problems of development are concentrated among the poor, and markets will typically not cater as much to the poor. Markets are wonderful things and provide the incentives for the innovation and the dynamism needed to power modern economies. But markets don't care for you if you don't have purchasing power. And so the basic tension here is that the democratic ideal is one person, one vote, whereas the market values you on a $1, one vote principle. And that's why there's no getting away from building effective public systems to make sure that we can get the benefits of innovation to the poor at scale who otherwise would not be able to afford them. This is how we managed to substantially reduce infant mortality in the 20th century. It was not enough to have new knowledge on effective medical interventions like vaccinations or oral rehydration therapy for diarrhea. It was essential to build the public systems that could take that new knowledge and deliver that at scale and reach the poor who otherwise would not be able to access these benefits. So, to summarize, in a world of slowing economic growth, climate change, wars, and scarring from pandemics, there's a very real risk that progress in global development slows down or even reverses. But we have reason to be optimistic that there is a huge free lunch on the table that we can act on by using data and evidence to improve the effectiveness of public spending. But just because it's free does not mean it is easy. It is free because you can achieve a lot more by spending smarter rather than spending more. But it is not easy because that requires us to work with governments and patiently build the public systems to improve the effectiveness of public expenditure that can reach the poor at scale. This is increasingly what I've been working on, and I'm incredibly encouraged by my engagements and interactions with many outstanding government officials in India and around the world who want to do exactly this. And that's why I'm optimistic that we can sharply accelerate global development. Thank you.
OMG Yes is a website of new findings from the largest ever research study into women's pleasure and intimacy in partnership with IU and Yale researchers. When you see such an open, honest, evidence-based discussion of what feels good and why, it becomes so obvious that's how it should be. The techniques are beautifully organized and presented with women of diverse ages sharing from experience. No blushing, no shame. Binge watch OMG Yes solo with your partner or discuss it with friends like a book club. See it for yourself at omgyes.com. Support for the show comes from LinkedIn. Where are my B2B marketers out there? If you are a B2B marketer, you know how noisy the ad space can be, which means if your message isn't targeted to a specific audience and the right audience that you're looking for, it can just easily disappear into the noise. But with LinkedIn ads, you can precisely reach the pros who are more likely to find your ad relevant. LinkedIn has targeting capabilities so that you can reach the folks you're looking for by job title, industry, company, and more filters. So you can stand out with LinkedIn ads and start converting your B2B audience into high-quality leads today. LinkedIn ads will let you build the right relationships, drive results, and reach your customers in an environment where a lot of your customers are hanging out, because you will have direct access to and network with decision makers, 1 billion members, 130 million decision makers, and 10 million C-level executives. You can start converting your B2B audience into high-quality leads today. We will even give you a $100 credit on your next campaign. Go to linkedin.com/TED Audio to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/TED Audio. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be to be. That was economist Karthik Muralidharan speaking at TED 2024. If you're curious about TED's curation, find out more at TED.com/curation guidelines. And that's it for today. TED Talks Daily is part of the TED Audio Collective. This episode was produced and edited by our team, Martha Estefanos, Oliver Friedman, Brian Green, Autumn Thompson, and Alejandra Salazar. It was mixed by Christopher Fazy Bogan. Additional support from Emma Taubner and Daniela Ballarezo. I'm Elise Hugh. I'll be back tomorrow with a fresh idea for your feed. Thanks for listening.
On the TED Radio Hour, on December 24th, NASA's Parker Solar Probe will touch the sun.
The spacecraft will hit the closest approach ever to the sun.
Astrophysicist Noor Wawafi leads the mission.
We will be making history. To this day, it's still like magic to me.
Ideas about the sun. That's next time on the TED Radio Hour from NPR. Listen and subscribe to the TED Radio Hour wherever you get your podcasts.